Web streaming of 90.3 WPLN-FM is made possible by listener support and by Vanderbilt University Medical Center, the promise of discovery. Learn how you can support this service at NashvillePublicRadio.org.
From NPR and WBEZ Chicago, this is Wait, Wait, Don't Tell Me, the NPR News Quiz. I'm Carl Castle.
And I'm Peter Gross, filling in this week for Peter Sagal. President Obama pops over to the United Nations, but tells the pilot of Air Force One to just keep it running. And the NFL replacement referees perform the miraculous trick of turning an interception into a touchdown and then disappearing. Minnesota Vikings punter Chris Cluey tells us how to put the foot in football, and Carl Castle finally lets us know what he thinks of this show.
It's pure, unadulterated muggle.
We'll ask who seems to have lost her magic coming up on this week's News Quiz right after this hour's news.
From NPR News in Washington, I'm Noor Rahm. It's the last Sunday before the first debate in the presidential campaign, so politicians and politician watchers were all over the talk shows this morning. New Jersey Governor Chris Christie told CBS's Face the Nation he thinks Mitt Romney will do extraordinarily well, and that will turn the race upside down. While on Fox News Sunday, vice presidential candidate Paul Ryan praised the president, calling him a very gifted speaker. He also had some kind words for the man he'll debate, Vice President Joe Biden.
He's fast on the cuff. He's a witty guy. He knows who he is, and he's been doing this for 40 years. So you're not going to rattle Joe Biden. Joe Biden's been on the national stage. He ran for president twice as a sitting vice president. What I hope to achieve is to give people an alternative.
Meanwhile, President Obama is on his way to Nevada for a campaign rally. NPR's Scott Horsley reports Mr. Obama will spend several days in the state preparing for the debate.
Nevada is one of the most hotly contested of the battleground states. An NBC Wall Street Journal poll released on Thursday shows the president holding on to a slim 2-point lead over Republican Mitt Romney. Nevada has the nation's highest unemployment rate, 12.1%, and one of the highest rates of home foreclosure. After his rally, Mr. Obama plans to hole up at a resort outside Las Vegas for some intense debate preparation. He and Romney hold the first of three debates in Denver on Wednesday. The nationally televised debate is considered one of the last big chances for the two men to sway the few remaining undecided voters. Scott Horsley, NPR News.
NATO officials say another two Americans were killed in Afghanistan yesterday, a soldier and a civilian contractor. They say the attack occurred in a checkpoint near a U.S.-Afghan base. Three Afghan soldiers were also killed. Several bombs exploded across Iraq today, targeting mainly Shiite areas. Officials say at least 17 people were killed and scores were injured. NPR's Ghassan Adnan reports security officials are speculating the attacks may be designed to trigger sectarian conflicts.
Insurgents have detonated many car bombs and roadside bombs targeting security checkpoints and local markets. The bloodiest attack took place in the city of Taji, 20 miles north of Baghdad, where three explosions have killed and injured many people. No one has claimed responsibility for attacks yet, but security officials say the bombings are similar to previous Al-Qaeda attacks. Ghassan Adnan, NPR News, Baghdad.
Hundreds of Muslims rioted overnight in a Buddhist neighborhood in southern Bangladesh. They set fire to at least four Buddhist temples and 15 homes. They claim that Buddhists had posted a picture on Facebook that insulted Islam. Police say they brought the situation under control and deployed several extra forces in Buddhist areas. This is NPR News. Another part of the health care overhaul law goes into effect tomorrow. Starting October 1st, hospitals will have to pay a fine if a Medicare patient is readmitted within 30 days of being discharged because of complications. The goal is to improve the quality of patient care. The Medicare Payment Advisory Commission estimates about 12% of Medicare patients who are hospitalized are later readmitted for a problem that may have been prevented. The Midwest drought is causing stress for farmers everywhere. But as NPR's Jim Hawk reports, California is especially hard hit.
The summer-long drought has led to a more than 50% spike in the cost of corn and soybeans. In Hanford, California, dairy farmer Mary Cameron says she's on the brink of losing her business because her cattle feed bills have been astronomical.
In fact, up to about 3-4 years ago, I considered myself a wealthy dairyman, and now everything is going under.
Dozens of dairy operators have filed for bankruptcy in California, the nation's largest dairy state. Others have sold their herds or sent them to slaughter and given up on the business. Jim Hawk, NPR News.
Tomorrow is the first Monday in October, the day the U.S. Supreme Court begins a new term. One of the first cases the justices will hear concerns affirmative action, whether the University of Texas may consider race in deciding college admissions. Chief Justice John Roberts has said that using race in drawing up congressional districts is a sordid business, and that the way to stop discrimination on the basis of race is to stop discriminating on the basis of race. The court is also expected to hear cases this term involving same-sex marriage and voting rights. I'm Nora Rahm, NPR News in Washington.
Support for NPR comes from Reputation.com, providing tools to manage the online reputations of businesses in search results and reviews. Learn more at Reputation.com.
From NPR and WBEZ Chicago, this is Wait, Wait, Don't Tell Me, the NPR News Quiz. I'm Carl Castle, and here's your host, filling in for Peter Sagal at the Chase Bank Auditorium in downtown Chicago, Peter Gross.
Thank you, Carl. Thank you so much. Thanks for having me, everybody. You're going to enjoy our show later on. The world's most famous punter, Minnesota Viking Chris Cluey, will join us to talk about the perks of being the world's most famous punter. But first, you may have noticed something very strange in the news this week. This is the week of the famous political lull. This is something that's very specific. It happens every 4 years during the election season. It always comes 3 weeks after the end of the political conventions and always 1 week before the first presidential debate. And it's 9 days after the leaked video making one of the candidates look like Ebenezer Scrooge. And then it's actually 6 hours and 45 minutes before the incumbent has his mouth surgically removed to make sure he doesn't say something equally stupid. If you still have your mouth on your face and it works, please give us a call at 1-888-WAIT-WAIT. That's 1-888-924-8924. And now, let's welcome our first listener contestant. Hi there. You're on Wait, Wait, Don't Tell Me.
Hello. How's it going? My name is Patrick Moran, and I'm from Newburgh, Indiana.
Oh, great. Newburgh, Indiana. Wow. Ooh. Oh, just the loveliest smattering, Patrick. What's going on there in Newburgh? How far away from Chicago is Newburgh, would you say?
Oh, not far enough.
Wow. Well,
you are making friends.
Yeah.
No,
Patrick, there are about 500 people who are rooting against you to win this game. All right, mister. Let me introduce you to our panel, Patrick. First up, it's comedian and host of The Morning Amp on Vocalo.org. Say hi to Brian Babylon.
Hey, hey.
All right, Patrick, next we have the deputy editor and blogger for the Houston Chronicle, Ms. Kiri O'Connor. And finally, he's a writer for HBO's Real Time with Bill Maher, Adam Felber.
Oh, wow.
Hello, Patrick.
All right. Welcome to the show, Patrick.
Thanks for having me.
You're going to play Who's Carl this time. Carl Castle is going to read you three quotes from the news this week. If you can correctly identify two of the three quotes, you will win our prize, which is Carl Castle's voice on your answering machine or your voicemail. You pick. All right. Are you ready, Patrick?
As ready as I'll ever be.
Okay, good. Hey, by the way, we're over that whole Chicago comment. Just so you know.
Thank you.
We want you to win this thing, man. All right. Okay, here's your first quote.
Remember, you got what you demanded. No yelling at the refs on Sunday.
All right, that was a writer on MSN reminding football fans they have to be nice this weekend now that what is over?
The referee lockout.
That's right. Very good. Oh, a at last. At last, our long national nightmare is over. The NFL and the officials union have agreed on a new contract, and the replacement refs are gone. And I just want to say there are some terrible things happening in this world. We have global economies collapsing. You know, the middle class is disappearing. There's chaos and fire all over the Middle East. But here in America, we have proven that once again, if a cause is truly unimportant enough, we will join together to fight for it.
Preach, Adam. Preach.
Thank you.
Preach, Peter. Preach. Yes. No doubt about it.
No doubt about it. Is that right?
No.
It was kind of amazing. It's like this actual moment of national unity in this whole time where everyone's trying to bite each other's head off. We actually all feel the same way about this issue. You
for
know what
one
I mean?
Day, we were all Packers.
Yes.
Whoa, whoa. Hold on now. Hold on.
Take it easy, and you're in Chicago, lady.
Never
that. It was kind of amazing, too. That it was just like the topic of the week. They asked everybody about it. They asked President Obama about it. They asked Paul Ryan about it. And they both actually agreed on it. They both said, like everybody, that the refs, you know, should come back. And not to be, you know, missing out on all the common man bonding. You know, Mitt Romney weighed in, and he was like, I can absolutely relate. This is just like the time when the dressage judges mistakenly penalized my horse for illegal prancing.
But it is true that this unity ends on Sunday, when the refs will be responsible for exactly half the teams in the NFL losing.
Mm-hmm.
And half
the
fans will believe that.
And
they
will still make horrible calls.
Yes. I have to say, though, I don't know why it was so hard for these refs, because, you know, what's the big deal about just coming in and, like, replacing a guy who's done a job for so long, you know? Like, why would you make any mistakes?
It doesn't.
I feel like you should be able to do that job without making any mistakes.
No, you really can't do that. I don't know.
So now it's time for Lightning Fill in the Limerick.
Is that right?
No, I'm sorry. That's not. I messed that up. Okay. All right, Patrick. So far, you're doing great. Here's your next quote.
Sign, you've been working too hard, trying to open the door to your apartment building with your UN work ID.
That was a United Nations employee who has been working double time this week. And why?
Oh, man. Because the president gave a speech?
Close. There's an event that is happening that he is probably working a lot at. Do you know what that would be called? It takes place at the UN. I'll give you that much of a hint.
Human trafficking.
Yes. Yes. Patrick, the United Nations has now gone full bore into human trafficking.
Well, they had so many connections.
They did. No, well, the words we're looking for are actually...
Oh, just give it to me.
General Assembly. It's called the UN General Assembly. It's when all the delegates and all the heads of state from all over the world descend on New York, and it's kind of this, like, last gasp of the summer festival season. You know, you've got Lollapalooza, you've got Burning Man, you've got the UN General Assembly, you know.
Right, I knew that. I was just making sure you guys knew that.
So, you know, every time it looks like the star of the show is, hold on, help me out, Mahmoud,
Ahmadinejad.
Yeah.
Okay.
Who looks like he wants to dress like a white guy from 1987.
Yeah.
Like, he rocks the members only jackets.
Mm-hmm. No tie,
the Land's End shirt, and then just yap, crazy talk.
Yeah.
Is it Land's End? Specifically, but it was amazing. Ahmadinejad spoke, and it was nowhere near as crazy as it normally is. There were no, like, 9/11 conspiracies and Holocaust denials. And that's part of the bummer, too, is it's like you go see a band and you expect them to play your favorite hits. And you're like, hey, man, dude, wipe Israel off the map. And he's like, I'm going to play something from my solo album. Boo! Boo!
You know, my takeaway was extreme disappointment with Bibi Netanyahu, because he was trying to make a big warning speech.
Yeah,
and did you see the chart he had?
Yes,
we should
explain this to our
turn. He showed everybody how close Iran was to getting nuclear weapons by having this spherical cartoon bomb
with
picture.
With the wick coming out.
With the wick coming up.
So, like Acme style?
Like Wile E. Coyote.
I was watching this thing thinking, are we worried about Ahmadinejad or are we worried about Inspector Clouseau?
Yeah. And then he had like the little words like zoinks put right next to it.
And he was speaking very seriously. Like, he clearly thought this bomb chart was a good idea.
Yeah, yeah. Well, I think his son made it and was like, will you take this to the United Nations? All right. Patrick, you're doing very well.
No, he's doing okay.
You're doing okay. I'm trying to boost his confidence.
I'm not doing bad.
You're not doing bad. If you get this next one right, the prize will be yours. Here's your next quote.
The casual vacancy is pure unadulterated muggle.
That was a writer in Slate magazine reviewing the new book that came out this week that was written by whom?
Written by who, I'm sorry?
Yes, written by who, that's your question.
I'm assuming it's J.K. Rowling's new book.
That is absolutely right! Very good! That is right. Now hold on to your hats, folks. If you are a fan of wizards and dragons and magic, you got to check this book out. In this new book, A Casual Vacancy, J.K. Rowling takes us to the small British village of Pagford, where she uses the death of a parish councilman and the ensuing vacancy on the town council to examine the inner workings of small-town village government. And if you're still listening at the end of the sentence, then this book is very boring, and it is for you.
You know what? She should have called it 50 Shades of Hogwarts. That's what it should have been called.
Yes, exactly. I'm worried, though, that like if this book is successful, then other writers will take these other sort of forays into stories about municipal minutia. You know, George R.R. Martin's next book will be called A Game of Local Zoning Codes. And the new Stephen King novel will be about a sleepy Maine town that's hiding a terrible secret. The cost of parking around City Hall will increase by 10 cents an hour! All right, well, Carl...
the Lord of the Ringbinders.
Carl, how did Patrick do on our quiz?
Patrick, you had two correct answers, so you win our prize. Congratulations.
Great job. Thank you very much. Bye-bye. Right now, panel, time for you to answer some questions about this week's news. Brian, nutritionists and weight loss experts now claim the best way to lose weight and lower your cholesterol is to do what? It's slightly counterintuitive, I'll tell you that.
It's actually to eat more.
That's right. We're looking for a specific number, though. I'll give you a hint. Take the 3 square meals a day you eat and square that.
Oh, you need to eat at least 6 meals a day. You need to at least eat 9 meals a day.
That's right.
9 meals a day. Yep.
Very good. It turns out that eating many small meals a day instead of just the traditional 3 meals is actually the real secret to appetite suppression. And that's because it keeps your blood sugar levels steady and because you're eating 9 meals a day.
So Taco Bell was on the right track.
Oh, yeah. But they didn't go far enough.
They only went to 4th meal.
Well, that's the thing is if you're really paying attention and you want to do it right, you got to eat breakfast, lunch, dinner, and then you have to make room for brunch, blunch, slunch, slupper, linner, brepper, and dunch.
Yes. Yeah.
So, also, an interesting...
And why are you serving me that? That's not a brunch food.
Yeah, exactly. Well, wait 10 minutes and it'll be brunch.
I ate too much. My body goes boom, 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 boom. I ate too much. My body goes boom, 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 boom. I'm ice cream sweet and candy fun. Dance to the beat of my own drum. I ate too much. My body goes boom.
Support for NPR comes from NPR stations and Esurance, an Allstate company with RepairView, a tool that lets customers see photos of their car repairs from their computer or smartphone at esurance.com. Angie's List, with reviews on local contractors and doctors in 500 categories with ratings based only on member feedback, angieslist.com. And CSX, whose trains move a ton of freight nearly 500 miles on 1 gallon of fuel, to help reduce fuel consumption. CSX, how tomorrow moves. We'll be back in a minute with more of Wait, Wait, Don't Tell Me from NPR.
NPR and WBEZ Chicago, this is Wait, Wait, Don't Tell Me, the NPR News Quiz. I'm Carl Castle. We're playing this week with Adam Felber, Brian Babylon, and Kiri O'Connor. And here again is your host, filling in for Peter Sagal at the Chase Bank Auditorium in downtown Chicago, Peter Gross.
Thank you, Carl. Thank you, everybody. So right now, it is time for us to play the Wait, Wait, Don't Tell Me Bluff the Listener game. Call 1-888-WAIT-WAIT to play our game on the air. Hi there, you're on Wait, Wait, Don't Tell Me.
Hi, this is Anita calling from Princeton, New Jersey.
Hi, Anita from Princeton, New Jersey. How's it going in Princeton?
It's pretty good, thanks.
What do you do there?
I actually work for a nonprofit based in D.C. We focus on green building and sustainability.
Good for you. And do you yourself live in one of these green buildings?
No, I live in an old house.
Well, you're doing good work, I'm sure. It's nice to have you with us, Anita. You're going to play our game in which you must try to tell truth from fiction. And, Carl, what is your topic?
I shouldn't have to tell you.
Don't pull on Superman's cape, don't spit in the wind, and employees must always wash their hands. These are three things that people should not have to be told. Our panelists are now going to read you three stories of organizations being forced to remind people of what should be patently obvious. Choose the story from this week's news, and you will win Carl's voice on your home answering machine or voicemail. Are you ready?
Yep.
All right, Anita. First up, it's Adam Felber.
If you live in the state of Florida, the United States Postal Service has issued a simple request. In order to ensure the best possible service, please stop crashing your cars into your post offices. Now, if your first thought is that this sort of warning might not be completely necessary, let me repeat one salient detail. Florida. Yes, nearly a third of Sunshine State drivers are over 60, and they've managed to accidentally ram into 8 post offices this year in Central Florida alone, breaking plate glass windows, careening into lobbies, and providing another good reason why the rest of us have switched to email. To combat these unwanted drive-throughs, the Postal Service has issued some helpful tips for its customers, like, quote, proceed slowly and carefully when pulling in and backing out of parking spots, and, quote, visibly check to see whether your foot is on the gas pedal or the brake pedal. Sounds like overkill, but it might have helped 89-year-old Phyllis Slonwhite, who recently left her own stamp on her local post office when she smashed through a window and caused $250,000 worth of damages. Said onlooker Frank Kubacki, there you go, another Florida accident.
All right, from Adam Felber, that's a story about reminding people that they should not be driving into their post offices if they can avoid it. Up next, we have a story from Brian Babylon.
Organizers of a Star Trek convention in Los Angeles made an announcement before this year's convention. In all caps and in bold print read the sign, "No Star Wars Costumes Allowed." Trekkie conventions are a place for geeks to lose themselves in their own Starfleet fantasies. From Khan to Q, Picard to Kirk, it's time to get beamed up. But it is not time to use the Force, or Princess Leia, or God forbid, Jar Jar Binks. It all started 3 years ago at the convention in Houston when a group came dressed up as Ewoks in Starfleet uniforms, said attendee Jessica Kimbrough. You can't have these two worlds collide, said Kimbrough, whose real job is an attorney, but she asked to be called Lieutenant Uhura. The situation came to a head when a group of Kleons, drunk on blood wine, got into a brawl with some Wookiees at the trouble booth. One Kleon was heard saying, "You can't exist because your galaxy is from a long, long time ago and far, far away. So energize yourself out of here."
All right. From Brian Babylon, the story of Trekkies and, I guess, Warzies not really trying to be in the same place. And your last story of a reminder that should not need mindering comes from Kiri O'Connor.
Betty Lumen of Columbus, Indiana, was breaking out a box of Sparklers to celebrate the last day of summer when a 3-page list of instructions fell out. Here is what it said in part, as reported in the Indianapolis Star. Do not light while pumping gasoline. Do not insert lighted units into body cavities. Do not light in presence of gas leak. Do not hand to infant. Do not poke wild animal with lighted unit. Do not stuff lighted unit into pants. Do not attempt to brand livestock with lighted unit. Do not hold lighted unit near expressed flatulence. Do not light multiple units in a tinder dry forest. Do not use lighted unit as boutonniere. Do not test whether lighted unit can burn pubic hair. Do not use as replacement pacifier. Do not use as a curling iron. Not for acupuncture. Not tested for shish kebabs. Do not deep fat fry. Do not swallow. If swallowed, do not light in stomach. If swallowed, then expelled. Do not ruin July 4th for everyone else.
Okay, Anita. All right, Anita. So, yeah. From Kerry O'Connor, you have a story about a long list of sparkler instructions that should be very, very obvious. For My Babylon, you have a story about Trekkies trying to keep their turf from Star Wars fans and from Adam Felber. You have a story about keeping little old ladies from Central Florida from driving into the post office. Which one of those do you think is the real story?
I think it's the Star Wars Star Trek story.
The Star Wars Star Trek conflagration from Brian Babylon. Okay.
That's my guess.
That's your guess. Great. Now, to find out the correct answer, we spoke with someone who is familiar with the real story.
Since the beginning of the year, there have been 14 crashes of vehicles into post offices in the state of Florida alone.
That was Frank Cherubino, a columnist for the Palm Beach Post, talking about the rash of people that have been driving into the post office. So I'm sorry, Anita. Adam had the real answer, and you didn't win, but you did earn a point for Brian Babylon.
Yes.
With his story about Trekkies and Star Wars fans.
Live long and prosper. Appreciate
live long
it.
And prosper. Live long and prosper, but do not use the force. Thank you.
Thanks
so much for playing with us. Bye-bye.
And they say you don't tug on Superman's cape. You don't spit into the wind. You don't pull a mask off an old Lone Ranger, and you don't mess around with Jim. I don't.
And now for the part of the show where people who have accomplished great things are asked to accomplish one more thing. An ESPN writer said of our guest, Minnesota Vikings punter Chris Cluey, quote, he would fit in perfectly with a group of impossibly smart California Mensas who spend half their time working out and most of the rest of their time playing video games. So he is either the nerdiest player in the NFL or the most athletic nerd in history. Chris Cluey, please welcome to Wait, Wait, Don't Tell Me.
Thank you.
So, Chris, we have to ask you, you're kind of this punter who has made punting kind of cool. How do you feel about that?
Well, it's more for, you know, what I've written and done in video games, and hopefully at some point, you know, I'll get recognition for actually punting the football. But
yes.
Can I cut in with a quick question?
Please do.
Because I've always wondered, when you're a punter, when you go out there, by definition, your fans are disappointed.
Yes.
Right, because the offense
is that
didn't
like
do
a weird
job.
That was like, yay, our punter's here.
But we're giving up the ball.
But no, but he can save the day if he punts it right on the corner of the 2-yard line, and then he's the hero.
Right, mm-hmm. he can make things less bad.
And unless, of course, you're punting to Devin Hester, who will then take that ball and run it 90 yards.
There you go.
Yes.
Yeah.
Full disclosure, that actually did happen to me in a game.
Has it only happened once? I mean, you're lucky that you only had it happen to you once.
Is there a punter personality? There's a base player personality. Is there a punter personality?
It's very similar to the base player personality where you're in back. No one ever notices you.
You're in a band, right?
I am. I'm in a band called Tripping Icarus.
Yes, and tell us what instrument you do play.
I play the bass.
So last year, the Vikings, the team that you're on, picked up Donovan McNabb, and McNabb had worn the number 5 for his whole career, and you've been wearing number 5 for your whole career. And whenever two guys with the same number wind up on the same team, that can cause some friction. Is that correct? What happened in your situation?
Well, normally it's settled with a duel to the death with pistols at dawn,
uh-huh.
But we figured the team would probably need both of us.
Right.
So I made a deal where if he mentioned my band's name 5 times in press conferences and gave me an ice cream cone, then
So how did he manage to work the name Tripping Icarus 5 times into press conferences? Into separate press conferences, or?
It was supposed to be separate press conferences, but in his very first press conference, he mentioned it like 12 times.
Did you guys have like a million people at your next show?
No, we had like.
You should take your bass to the stadium with you. Have you ever done that?
My ultimate goal is to play in the Super Bowl, then do the Super Bowl halftime show.
That would be amazing.
Also, when the ball changes possession, you could do like Seinfeld-like segues. Because football doesn't have enough segues, music.
Speaking of comedy and slapstick and football, tell us about your thoughts about the real referees returning to the field. Are you breathing a huge sigh of relief, or Were you enjoying some of the hilarious Keystone Cops adventures of these replacement refs?
Well, it definitely gave us something to talk about each week because it was like, all right, what are they going to do this time? I personally thought they wouldn't be able to top five timeouts in a half.
Yes,
but
now...
Then we all saw the Monday night game in.
Right.
Yeah,
that was... I've heard that a lot of the players are also looking forward to seeing the individuals, the actual referees themselves, not just the fact that there are these experienced guys coming back, but, you know, guys that you recognize and you know, oh, you can trust this guy. I mean, what's the on-field rapport like with these individual referees?
Well, you get to know them. Anyone who's been in the league for, you know, 4 or 5 years, you start to recognize the reffing crews that are in. And, yeah, now you know a name you can put in front of the swear word you're directing them.
Now, Chris, you're a pretty outspoken guy. You once called out Drew Brees and Peyton Manning on Twitter, and you just wrote this open letter about gay marriage that a lot of people have read. What do your teammates think of that?
Well, they've all known I've been like that. I've never been shy, you know, at speaking out stuff that I happen to see. It's mm-hmm. just, in this case, it happened to go a little viral. And, yeah, I got a little more national attention than most of my normal stuff. So
gotcha.
They figure it's like, oh, yeah, that's clearly.
Right. It just comes and goes.
Yeah.
You're a big gamer. Your Twitter handle is Chris Warcraft. I'm guessing that you like the game World of Warcraft.
Yeah, I actually used to play it a lot, and a local radio show said if I ever did Twitter, they're the ones who actually pushed me into doing Twitter, said you have to name your handle Chris Warcraft, because uh-huh. that's what they called me on the show. So I was like, all right, works for me.
Now, do you find yourself playing video games during extensive offensive stretches that the Vikings are having where you don't have to go onto the field?
Sadly, I can't do that yet, because it's really hard to sneak a laptop down onto the field, but... I hear they're making great strides with wearable electronics, so hopefully one of these days I'll be able to just tune out the game and level up a character.
Now, what are you're obviously an extensive knowledge of video games. What are the games that you like to play?
Pretty much everything except for sports games. I'm absolutely terrible at sports
really?
Games. Yeah,
you've never seen yourself on Madden?
No, I have friends, though, that will tell me that they buy Madden each year just so they can put me in a quarterback and see if they can get me injured. So
That is, A, first of all, that's sadistic that they want to do that. And why does Madden let you do that?
You're allowed to just like... I don't know why they let the kickers and punters be quarterbacks. Obviously, they know we're great athletes. That must be it.
That's it.
On Madden 2014, you should be able to put in replacement refs and watch them scream. So is your band active? Like, are you guys take time off during the season, or are you able to play on Mondays and Tuesdays or anything?
Yeah, actually, we do most of our playing during the season, because in the off season, I live in California. Both my wife and I are from there. So we try to get as many shows during the season as we can. I do have a strict no shows after Thursday night policy, though, because we did a Friday show 1 year, and I was pretty zonked out on the game.
Really?
So that was not a good idea.
So are you saying that the actual playing of the bass knocked you out, or was it the post-show festivities that knocked you out for Sunday?
Well, it was more the fact that once teardown was done and we'd finally finished putting all our gear back in the practice space, it was about 3:30 in the morning.
Oh, I see.
And
you don't have roadies?
Yeah, there's no roadies.
What?
A tour bus, man?
Yeah,
come on.
No, sadly, we don't have any roadies. We're not quite that famous yet.
Let me give you some advice. How many followers do you have on Twitter?
A lot now.
Okay, so, and more after this show, I'm sure. Just put it out there that you want some of these, you know, guys to be your roadies. And
I feel bad, though. I mean, that's taking advantage of people.
That is what being famous is about, Chris Perry. You are a punter. You have to find your ways to take it. You think the quarterbacks and wide receivers have trouble taking advantage? They do it all the time. Well, thank you so much for joining us, Chris. We have asked you here to play a game that we are calling...
Eureka! I have found it!
Well, the 2012 Ig Nobel Prizes were handed out this week. They honor some of the more unusual and kind of ridiculous breakthroughs in science. We're going to ask you about three of these very, very real honorees. If you get two of them right, you're going to win our prize. For one of our listeners, that's Carl Castle's voice on their voicemail. Are you ready to go?
Yep, I am ready.
All right. Carl, who is Chris Cluey playing for?
Chris is playing for Ken Haynes of Corvallis, Oregon.
All right, Chris, here we go. First, the Ig Nobel Anatomy Prize went to two scientists from Emory University. They discovered something fascinating about chimpanzees. Was it A, that chimps can recognize each other just by their butts, B, that chimps are consistently Team Edward, or C, they never really liked Jane Goodall?
Well, I would really like to go with C. I think I'm going to go with A.
A, that is correct. This is true about chimpanzees. All they need to see is a photograph of a friend's butt, and they're like, oh, yeah, that's Eric. All right, next up. Yeah,
I was going to say I could probably identify my long snapper the same way.
Have you ever seen your long snapper's face, or you're just like, oh, there he is. He's...
Yeah, no, it's just straight rear end.
Yep. All right, next up, the Ig Nobel Prize in Medicine goes to a pair of French doctors who have figured out how to minimize the chances that colonoscopy patients will do what?
I already know this one.
Is you? Okay.
The answer is, it will not explode during
Wait a second.
Colonoscopy.
Chloe, we got a way of doing things here. Let me read
that through. That was illegal motion right there.
That was illegal motion. You jumped off sides. We're going to penalize you 5 yards. Go back to the beginning of the question.
Okay.
Sorry. I'll just read all these, then you can get the answer right, okay?
Okay.
So is it A, show friends the video of their colonoscopy? Is it B, try to recognize each other just by their butts? Or C, explode?
It's C, they will not explode quite as violently from methane and hydrogen.
That is absolutely right. That is right, and you knew why it was right. And, you know, for those of you who didn't know that that was possible, you now have one more thing to worry about. Congratulations. All right, Chris, your last question concerns the Fluid Dynamics Prize. This year it went to the UC Santa Barbara researchers who made a groundbreaking discovery that could change the world as we know it. Was it A, 100% of all swimmers pee in the pool? B, why wet dogs smell like wet dogs? Or C, why you always spill your coffee when you try to walk with it?
Ooh, that's a tough one. I'm going to go with the coffee spillage.
That's right. Very good. Good job. So next time you spill your coffee, and it's not your fault that you ruined your shirt, it's science's fault. So blame science. Carl Castle, how did Chris Cluey do?
Chris, you had 3 correct answers, so you win for Ken Haynes.
Good job. Thank you, Chris. Chris Cluey is the punter for the Minnesota Vikings and the bassist in the kick butt band Tripping Icarus. Chris Cluey, thank you so much for playing with us.
Thanks for having me.
In just a minute, Carl plays Pin the Tail on the Crocodile. Call 1-888-WAIT-WAIT to join us on the air. Support for NPR comes from NPR stations and Progressive Insurance, helping people shop for car insurance at 1-800-PROGRESSIVE and progressive.com. The John D. and Catherine T. MacArthur Foundation committed to building a more just, verdant, and peaceful world. More information at macfound.org. And American Jewish World Service, pursuing global justice through grassroots change at ajws.org. We'll be back in a minute with more of Wait, Wait, Don't Tell Me from NPR.
NPR and WBEZ Chicago, this is Wait, Wait, Don't Tell Me, the NPR News Quiz. I'm Colonel Castle. We're playing this week with Kerry O'Connor, Adam Felber, and Brian Babylon. And here again is your host, filling in for Peter Sagal at the Chase Bank Auditorium in downtown Chicago, Peter Gross.
Thank you, Carl Castle. Thank you so much. In just a minute, Carl addresses the UN General Assembly on behalf of the people of Nantucket. It's the Listener Limerick Challenge. If you'd like to play, give us a call at 1-888. Wait. That's 1-888-924-8924. But right now, panel, here's some more questions for you from this week's news. Kiri, this week, California Governor Jerry Brown signed into law a bill that will allow who to drive cars?
Nobody. The cars themselves will do the driving.
That's absolutely right. They are these kind of robot cars.
Knight Rider?
Hmm?
Oh, I'm sorry.
It's like Knight Rider. Although, yes, it's Google self-driving cars. They're finally on the road in California, and pretty soon they're expected to start bitching about all the other robot drivers, just like we do. Where did you learn how to drive? Windows.
I'll come over there, buddy.
Yeah.
And then they just get stuck. Tell me about this thing called love. That's what always ends up.
Yeah, exactly. All robots are always searching for love. In any event, Google's automated driver is a huge step forward from Google's automated backseat driver, which was really starting to get in everyone's nerve.
So what
left
is this?
Left here, exit. This is it. You missed it. When?
I just don't want a car that I have to, like, worry about it making it home for curfew and stuff.
Yes, exactly. All my other robot friends are going out.
I don't care what your other robot friends are doing. You're my car, and you're going to be home in my driveway.
I hate you.
No, you don't.
You're not my dad. You didn't design me.
Give me your keys.
I don't need keys. I feel your wife's butt every day.
Terrible robot car.
All right. Kiri.
Yes.
Vice President Joe Biden is notorious for getting himself into trouble when he's speaking off the cuff. And according to the New York Times, while he's been out on the campaign trail, Mr. Biden is also developing a reputation for doing what?
Besides saying crazy stuff,
which we all know about.
A reputation for...
He's going through a lot of Purell in the process.
Pressing the flesh?
Yes, we'll give it to you. Yes. Basically, being handsy. That's what he's doing. As he travels around the country, Vice President Biden is like a one-man windbag machine, but he is also hoping to reach out and touch voters. And by touch voters, I mean he's actually reaching out, and he is touching voters. Biden's getting a reputation as the handsiest vice president that we have ever had. On the campaign stops just this week, he stroked arms, he rubbed shoulders, he touched cheeks gingerly, he even held hands with one potential voter for what was termed an uncomfortably long time.
He's like creepy Uncle Joe.
Yeah, he is.
Everybody's Uncle Joe.
Come on, I'm the vice president, you love me.
Come on, you like quarters.
Yeah. Uh-oh, he's got everyone in America's nose at this point.
Yeah.
He's reaching out and grabbing noses.
I might not have your vote, but I have your nose.
The Biden 12.
So he's kind of like the anti-Trump.
Yes, he is, in that he is friendly.
No, Trump doesn't touch.
Trump doesn't touch.
Oh, he doesn't touch.
No. I'm cool with that.
Not touching Donald Trump?
Yeah, I'm really cool with Donald Trump. Yeah. I'm cool with that. Yeah.
Adam, world leaders are calling for calm as suppliers say that next year the world is going to face an inevitable shortage of what?
Bacon! Everybody panic!
That's right. There's going to be a world shortage of bacon that will be unavoidable, according to the United Kingdom's National Pig Association, which, I should say, is not an association of pigs. Because if it were, they would have a very different focus, and I think they would be very happy about the global bacon shortage.
You know what? Upton Sinclair prophesied about this.
Did he really?
From the missing scroll, Upton Sinclair.
What is it? It's the missing part of the jungle.
Yep.
And up until Claire's
time.
Day,
yep.
In his day, if there were no bacon, it'd be like, just shove one of the workers into the bacon-making machine. But the bacon shortage is due to some very real things. It's like high pig feed costs, there's the drought, and the fact that bacon tastes amazing. And we can't stop putting it in things.
Yes, you know what? I think it's probably because we put it on everything.
Oh, now. Yeah. I mean, I can't live without my sausage, bacon, and egg breakfast sandwich.
You can't live without it?
No. And my bacon-wrapped hot dog? And that piece of bacon you used to stir your coffee?
Mmm. Good stuff.
Delicious.
Good stuff.
Coming up, it's Lightning Fill in the Blank, but first, it's the game where you have to listen for the rhyme. If you'd like to play on air, call or leave a message at 1-888-WAIT-WAIT. That's 1-888-924-8924. Or you can click the Contact Us link on our website, waitwait.npr.org. There you can find out about attending our weekly live shows here at the Chase Bank Auditorium in Chicago and our show at the Riverside Theater in Milwaukee, Wisconsin on November 15th. Hi there, you're on Wait, Wait, Don't Tell Me.
Hi.
What's your name?
It's Caro.
Carol?
Caro, no L.
Oh, Caro. And Caro, where are you calling from?
Leicester, North Carolina.
Where's Leicester, North Carolina?
It's outside Asheville.
Oh, that's beautiful. Isn't that,
yeah,
is that kind
gorgeous.
Of the Smoky Mountains area?
Yeah.
Well, welcome to the show, Carol. Carl Castle is going to read you three news-related limericks, and the last word or phrase is going to be missing from each one. If you can fill in that last word or phrase correctly on two of those limericks, you're going to win our prize, Carl Castle's voice, on your voicemail or answering machine. Okay, are you ready to go?
I'm ready.
Great. Here's your first limerick.
My desk chair is quite a sweet ride. I don't walk anymore. I just glide. Now my health's in a rut. You can tell by my butt. It has turned out to be double...
wide.
Wide, that's right. Very good.
I know this.
You knew that. Well, it turns out that scientists at Tel Aviv University warn people who sit at a desk all day are at risk of contracting a dangerous disease. No, not Dilbert fever. It's called desk butt, and it is exactly what it sounds like. Over time, the pressure on your rear end from your chair expands your butt to approximately the width and proportion of your desk. So what can you do to combat desk butt? Well, you can consider investing in a standing desk, or you could eat fewer than 9 meals a day. You guys ever gotten desk butt?
Come on, man.
How would I know?
Words sort of mix a lot when you need them, huh?
I like desk butt!
All right, here's your next limerick.
Sweets are cheap, and there's lots of them handy. And my cows seem to like them just dandy. The price of feed corn leaves me sad and forlorn. So I'm feeding my bovine herd...
candy.
Candy, that's right. Very good. A nationwide corn shortage, you may have heard about this, has forced farmers to... just take alternative measures to feed their cows. And they have to feed them these cheaper corn substitutes, and that winds up being things like gummy worms and Fruit Loops and cookies and Doritos. But after months of living on junk food, the question is, will these cows ever go back to just regular grazing? And also, will humans ever be able to go back to old Kobe beef after we've gotten the taste of succulent Twizzler steak?
That sounds delicious.
Yeah, I mean, the great thing about these cows that get fed all this, like, you know, sugary corn stuff is that when you milk them, nougat comes out.
Mm-hmm.
All right, here's your last limit, Carol.
A Florida party we cater. We bring reptile handlers and waiters. Our lizards are cool, so slip in your pool and splash while we bring out the...
gators.
That's right. The answer is gators. Would you like to give your child the best and last birthday party he'll ever have? Then you should consider renting a real pool party alligator from Alligator Attractions. This is a real company. The owner, Bob Barrett, says his gators have had dozens and dozens of birthday parties so far, and nothing bad has happened. And the operative phrase in that sentence is so far.
Wait a minute. The gators get in the pool with the kids?
The gators get in the pool with the kids. The gators have their mouths, taped shut.
The gator's like, I would eat you so, so fast.
To be fair, they're also small.
And nobody can afford it because what? It costs an arm and a leg. Thank you. Thank you.
Whatever happened just to magicians?
They got eaten by the alligators.
We finally found a use for those gators.
Yeah. They've rid us of the horrible scourge of magicians. All right, Carl, how did Carol do on our quiz?
Well, Carol had 3 correct answers. She had a perfect game. So, Carol, you win our prize.
Congratulations.
Yay.
Great job. Thank you so much for playing. Bye-bye.
Thanks so much. Bye.
Bye. All right, now we are on to our final game, Lightning, Fill in the Blank. Each of our players will have 60 seconds in which to answer as many fill-in-the-blank questions as he or she can. Each correct answer is worth 2 points. Carl, can you give us the scores?
Brian Babylon has the lead, Peter. He has 4 points. Kerry O'Connor and Adam Felber both have 2 points.
We flipped a coin. Kerry has elected to go first. Okay, the clock will start when I begin with your first question. Fill in the blank. On Thursday, Israel called for more international sanctions against blank.
Iran.
That's right. Starting with Iowa this week marked the beginning of early blanking in states across the country. Yes, that's right. Representatives of Britain and Ecuador met Thursday to discuss the possible extradition of WikiLeaks founder blank.
Julian Assange.
That's right. Best known for the song Moon River, crooner blank died Tuesday night at the age of 84.
Andy Williams.
That's right. This week, Spanish immigration officials arrested a man trying to enter the country illegally disguised as a blank.
A banana.
No, car seat. According to a report by the U.S. Census Bureau, blank is both the poorest and fattest state in the United States.
Mississippi.
That's right. Police in Rock Creek, Oregon, easily arrested a man in the act of robbing a home because he blank.
Fell asleep.
That's right. Very good. In case you didn't know, rule number one amongst professional burglars, always get a good night's sleep before robbing a house. This Oregon man was quickly grabbed by the police when he was discovered curled up on the kitchen floor. Things got very tense when he asked for just 5 more minutes and groggily swatted the officer's nose, thinking it was a snooze button. All right, Carl, so how did Kerry do?
Kerry had 6 correct answers for 12 more points. She now has 14 points, and Kerry has the lead.
Well done, Kerry. Okay. Adam Felber, you're up next. Fill in the blank. Jimmy Kimmel received mixed reviews for his stint hosting the blanks last Sunday.
Emmy Award.
That's right. The man behind the blank that sparked protests around the world was arrested in Los Angeles for violating his probation.
Film.
That's right. NASA's Curiosity rover discovered new evidence this week that suggests water once flowed on blank.
Mars.
That's right. Almost 40 years after his disappearance, police acting on a tip in Michigan began digging under a driveway for the remains of blank.
Jimmy Hoffa.
That's right. Pop star Justin Bieber is embroiled in a trademark dispute with the makers of a video game called blank.
Bieber.
No, it's called Jousting Beaver. On his show on Wednesday, David Letterman stumped British Prime Minister blank with a quiz on British history.
James Cameron. David Cameron.
That's right.
James Cameron. That's right.
I think you also may have been stumped on that quiz.
Yes.
A day after his meltdown on stage during a Las Vegas concert, the frontman for blank checked into rehab.
Green Day.
That's right. A Florida man who was pulled over for drunk driving blamed his bad driving on blank.
His car.
No, the squirrel in his shirt. It's true. Mr. Warren Michael III did have a squirrel inside of his shirt, but police suspected that his bad driving was actually due more to the alcohol odor oozing from every pore in his body. More so to that than Mr. Michael's claims that the squirrel was, quote, eating him. Michael was asked to secure the squirrel while he took a sobriety test, which he failed. The squirrel, of course, passed the test and just drove home. All right, Carl, how did Adam do?
Adam had 6 correct answers for 12 more points. He now has 14 points and is tied with Kerry for the lead.
Very good. So.
And I did it with a squirrel in my shirt.
You're drunk.
I don't know. How'd this guy get in here?
Ryan Babylon batting cleanup. How many does he need to win?
5 to tie, 6 to win outright.
5 to tie, 6 to win. Okay. All right. Brian, you ready?
Yes.
This is for the game. Fill in the blank.
Mm-hmm.
A riot involving 2,000 workers at a factory in China temporarily stopped production on the blank this week.
iPhone.
That's right. Reporters clarified this week that Mitt Romney was just joking when he said that he didn't know why blanks don't open.
Windows on airplanes.
That's right. Senators Rob Portman and John Kerry helped Mitt Romney and President Obama prepare for the blank scheduled for next week.
Debates.
That's right. After an article in the financial magazine Barron's said it was too pricey, stock prices for the social networking site blank plummeted.
Facebook.
That's right. A British man who found a dying bumblebee on his garden path blanked.
Saved it.
He did, but it was a very specific way. So
oh, mouth to mouth.
He nursed it back to health by hand feeding it honey. Cute, right? In the middle of their 50th anniversary reunion tour, Brian Wilson, founding member of the band Blank, was actually fired.
Queen.
Nope.
No, Beach Boys.
Well, Well, if I let him say James Cameron, I will let you go back on, yes, the Beach Boys.
Beach Boys, yeah.
We play a loosey-goosey when Sega's out of town, right, guys? An investigation by British police into a, quote, suspicious bright light determined that the light was actually blank.
The light was actually a... Oh, God. Oh, God?
Ding! No, it was one of his works. It was the moon.
The moon.
The British constable was alone in a wooded area when he discovered something very suspicious, a huge bright light up ahead that looked almost like it was suspended from the sky. He quickly called to let his supervisor know that he might need some backup because he didn't know what it was, and then he called back 20 minutes later to let his supervisor know that it was the moon. All right, Carl, did Brian do well enough to win?
He had 5 correct answers for 10 more points. He now has 14 points, so we have a 3-way tie. Brian Babylon, Gary O'Connor, and Adam Felber are this week's co-champions. Congratulations!
In just a minute, we're going to ask our panelists to predict what will be the big surprise moment in next week's presidential debate. But first, let me tell you that support for our Chicago shows is provided by Hyatt Hotels in downtown Chicago. Booking information is at Hyatt.com. Support for NPR comes from NPR stations and Carnegie Corporation of New York, a foundation created to do what Andrew Carnegie called real and permanent good, celebrating 100 years of philanthropy. The John S. and James L. Knight Foundation, helping NPR advance journalistic excellence in the digital age. And the Skoll Foundation, supporting social entrepreneurs and their innovations to solve the world's most pressing problems at skoll.org. Wait, Wait, Don't Tell Me is a production of NPR and WBEZ Chicago in association with Urgent Haircut Productions' Doug Berman, Benevolent Overlord. Philip Godica writes our limericks. Our house manager is Don Hall, assisted by Tyler James Green. Volunteer coordinator is Ray Teresi. Our intern is Leah Menzer. Our web guru is Beth Novi. Engineers include Les Stolarczyk and Mohammed Mao. Thanks to John Zajac at Chase Bank. BJ Lederman composed our theme. Our program is produced by Eva Walchover and Emily Ecton. Technical direction by Lorna White. Our production coordinator is Robert Newhouse. Our senior producer is Ian Shillog. The executive producer of Wait, Wait, Don't Tell Me is Mike Danforth. Now, panel, what will be the big surprise in next week's debate? Kerry O'Connor.
Ron Paul comes out on stage and somebody has to tell him, Dr. Paul, it's over.
Brian Babylon.
Come to find out that Obama has had a fake spray tan the whole time.
And Adam Felber.
In a bizarre consecutive technical foul-up, President Obama's teleprompter will malfunction and so will Mitt Romney.
Well, if any of those things happen next week, panel, we'll ask you about it on Wait, Wait, Don't Tell Me.
Thank you, Carl Castle. Thanks also to Kerry O'Connor, Brian Babylon, and Adam Felber. Listening. I'm Peter Gross. Peter Sagal will be back next week. Thank you very much. This is NPR.
Support for WPLN comes from South Walton, Florida. Taste of the Beach returns to South Walton November 2nd, 3rd, and 4th with an assortment of premium vintners and gourmet food offerings. Information is online at visitsouthwalton.com. There are families in East Nashville that live just blocks away from upscale neighborhoods, yet survive on $52 a week. Many mothers work 3 jobs just to feed their kids. There's a line between our children and the education, assistance, and opportunities they need to succeed. A line between poverty and potential. The Martha O'Brien Center is breaking that line and helping others to do the same. More information is available at breaktheline.org.
Celebrating 50 years of community service and community support, this is 90.3 WPLN Nashville Public Radio, 91.5 WTML Tullahoma, and 91.7 WHRS Cookeville. You can find a complete schedule of all our programs and listen to a live stream of any of our program channels at wpln.org. It's 12 o'clock.
Splendid table.